All right, we're back. It's episode 6 of the Reporter's Corner. I'm your one half of your co-host, Jared Rubato from the Bemidji Pioneer. With me again is co-host Trent Singer from Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing?
Doing good, Jared. How about you?
Not too bad. We just wrapped up a really, really fun interview with Chase Pietola. And he's been on this this podcast feed at least once before. I don't know if it was more than once, but we got him in the Reporter's Corner. And we talked about everything. Trent, give us a rundown of what we talked about with Chase Pietola and kind of everything in between.
Yeah, we great chat with Chase Pietola. And I know if you're not familiar with Chase Pietola, you're at least have to be familiar with the last name. His brothers, Logan and Blake, were seniors and on the leadership team of last year's Michigan Tech team, which won a Mason Cup, obviously. And so we got to talk a lot about, growing up and kind of, what that competitive environment looked like at a young age. His whole family just littered with Michigan Tech history. This is a school that he pretty much always wanted to go to from a very young age. So, yeah, it was a great chat. We talked for the third week in a row. We got to talk some Little Caesars AAA hockey because he was – on the Little Caesars AAA team, on the 14U team, when he first started his AAA, very briefly, we talked a little AAA hockey from Little Caesars, but we are 3-for-3 with defensemen who played AAA hockey at Little Caesars. but yeah, then we talked to USHL career, which included, in 2022-23, a Clark Cup with the Youngstown Phantoms when he was an alternate captain. And so, we talked a little bit about his freshman season at Michigan Tech, and then in the aftermath of that, an exciting moment this summer for Chase when he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Penguins in the fourth round of the 2024 draft. So, just a great chat. We got the whole rundown of the mustache that he's working with. Mom, you could turn that off before the last 5 minutes if you can. it's a good talk, and Chase is just – he's got such a great personality, and I think it really shows in a conversation like this where, you're able to pull from so much. Like, right, Jared? Like, having a brother who was one of the most prolific goaltenders on this team. So I think it's cool. There's a lot of cool stuff there, and – I know he's going to go off and do some great things. He's just he's an outstanding two-way defenseman who's just got so much upside. A good chat. And Michigan Tech's off to a really good start too. They came off a sweep last weekend in a home-and-home against Northern Michigan in that big rivalry. So Michigan Tech 4-2 and really, really enjoyed this one.
Yeah. So and funny kid too. I mean, he's a funny kid with plenty of stories. So let's kick it to our interview with Chase Pietola. All right. Episode 6 of the Reporter's Corner. And now we have on our first Michigan Tech representative, sophomore defenseman Chase Pietola. Chase, thank you so much for joining the show today. I think the first place we want to start with is you guys are coming off of a really, really fun sweep over your rival Northern Michigan. Just how do you feel like you guys have picked up where you left off? Obviously, you guys are 4-2 this year. So just let's start with how these first 6 games have gone and how your takeaways from a pretty fun weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. But so far, we've been off to a hot start. I mean, I think we're happy with how we've been playing. I mean, coming off a sweep against your rival is pretty huge. I mean, I think we outshot them a lot, and I felt like that we dominated both those games, and even the 2 games we lost, we thought that we still played well. I mean, those are tough games to lose, getting swept at home against Clarkson, but they're a good team, and we still were happy with how we played. Like, it was still a lot closer than some of the scores, I mean, empty net goals and stuff like that, but we're just trying to keep the ball rolling and just keep it going, and starting off 2-0 in league play is a great start, so.
You know, I know you're – I want to kind of go back in your playing career a little bit, kind of where it started. I think a lot of people already know this. You know, you're from Howell, Michigan, which is about halfway between Detroit and Lansing, for those of you who don't know. Simply based on your last name alone, it doesn't take much to realize that you come from a family – in which hockey is really at the center. Just growing up, was it a really competitive environment? I mean, what was it like being a part of a hockey family at a young age?
Yeah, it's unbelievably competitive. I mean, me and my brothers are probably the most competitive people you probably ever meet. And that goes along with all our cousins as well. But yeah, I mean, it started when we were like five or so playing in the backyard, and we'd be slashing each other and getting mad and just trying to win. So it started and just grows and grows and grows, and helps having family and friends and everybody that loves to play with you. But I mean, it makes you just that more competitive because you know them and you want to beat your brother, right? So
yeah. And surprisingly, we did not plan this, but this is the third straight guest.
Third week.
That has played for Little Caesars AAA. We're not from Michigan, so we don't know the lore behind Little Caesars AAA.
I mind you, the third defenseman as well.
The third defenseman. Yeah, we had Travis Shouty and Grant Heidman on. So, and they did a little bit more with AAA than you, but I got to ask, what was your experience like playing for Little Caesars AAA?
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. We had a great team. I mean, we won the national championship with Little Caesars, so obviously that's a memory that I'll have forever. And I mean, I think one of the coolest things was is we're practicing at LCA with, like, you know, we're showing up to the Red Wings rink, and I mean, we're practicing on the practice sheet, right. But it's still pretty cool when you're on the ice and you're like 14 or whatever, and it's super, super cool, and you're seeing Pistons basketball players going down the elevator with you. You're in a Drake concert while you're practicing. So you're but yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, it's a great organization, and it's unlike any other. And I mean, they've been top team in the country for many, many years. So it's a great youth program to get your development. So
anything you take away from the Honey Baked 15 U team you were on? I mean, let's just knock out all this AAA stuff as well.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably one of the best teams that I've been on. I mean, there's like, I think every single kid on that team was a really, really good player. I mean, unfortunately was cut short because of COVID, but I mean, I think we would have won that another national championship. I mean, I don't think we might have lost like one game all year. We were like, or maybe it was a little bit more than that, but yeah, I mean, we had tons and tons of talent. I mean, we had Frank Nazar, who's in the NHL right now, and a bunch of other guys are playing the OHL and playing NCAA. And it just, that was one of the few teams I can say like, yeah, we wouldn't have, I don't think we would have lost, but it was a really, really good team to be on. And yeah, it's crazy what those Michigan AAA teams can do for your development. Because it's a lot of people move to Michigan for AAA hockey because it's just such good high-paced hockey. And it's just, I got lucky that I didn't have to move anywhere for it. And it really helped your development. So
you did make me feel old for like the first time ever saying your 16 or 15 U AAA team got cut short from COVID. So
yeah,
thanks. Here,
time is wild, Jared.
Yeah. But you know, then you go to juniors. You play in the U show at 16 with Lincoln. You know, just how much of an adjustment was that going to the USHL at a young age from AAA?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge jump. It's just like from juniors to college. I actually thought that from AAA to juniors, it was a bigger jump for me. I also didn't have a very good year, in my opinion, and I don't think I was 100% ready. But yeah, so I just kind of took a leap of faith, and it didn't end up really working out. But it was a tough transition, but I think it helped me in the long run with facing that adversity and things like that. So it just kind of helped me build up and kind of develop my game into being a well-rounded player, if that makes sense. Because I went in kind of just being like maybe a one-trick pony, and then it kind of didn't really work out, and it kind of helped me develop all aspects of my game. So yeah, so I think in the long run, it for sure helped a lot.
Did you have a specific moment where you kind of start to feel the tide turn in your development where, yeah, maybe you kind of felt like it was a little bit too soon, you know, that first year playing in the USHL, but, you know, was there a moment where you kind of like, okay, I got the hang of this, I can hang with these kids?
Yeah, I think it was after my first year, I kind of started developing my confidence back, and then I ended up getting traded to Youngstown. So I kind of got a fresh start, new team, new coaches, new everything, and then that kind of helped me out. I got put in a little bit of a bigger role, and I kind of felt like I was like, all right, yeah, like I kind of was on my feet and starting to starting to get running. So I was like, yeah, I think this is the refresh that I needed. And kind of from there, that's where I just started begin the climb. So I was really happy with that.
Yeah. You mentioned Youngstown, and we got to talk about that because that was, I know for you personally, development wise and just kind of confidence wise, you know, that was a big one for you. You spent 2 years playing for the Phantoms and you guys won a Clark Cup in 2022, 23. I believe you were an alternate captain as well, Chase. What can you tell us just about how rewarding of an experience that was for you and how much it meant to lift that cup with those guys?
Yeah. I mean, it was an unbelievable group of guys. I mean, I love every single one of those guys. And when you're that close to the group, it's super special to be able to lift the trophy and win your last game of the year. And we fought for that all year long, and we had our ups and downs and things like that. But I think just it's super rewarding just being able to head out on such a high note of juniors and being able to take that like confidence into the next year starting college. And that just kind of helps up. Like that just helps, like, you know, that like, oh yeah, like, I mean, we dominated, we won, like I did everything I could in the USHL. We won a Clark Cup, like one last game of the year, like now going to college, like get the ball rolling again. Like I have that confidence coming into the next step that like I can play in college hockey.
Yeah, the junior season is such a gauntlet, right? Like you look at it compared to college hockey, you're playing twice the amount of games. It's the travel schedule is rigorous, you know. What is it when you get into like those doldrums of January and February, you're just waiting for postseason. What does it take to get through those so you can put yourself in a position to get to a Clark Cup?
Yeah. I mean, it literally takes everything. I mean, you're on the road and you're driving all the way from Youngstown to Cedar Rapids and you're just like, you're on the bus for so many hours. Even that, like even the Clark Cup run when we played Fargo, we were on the bus for like 24 hours. And it's a grind, and I mean, it takes everything out of you, but it's so worth it at the end of the year when you're lifting the cup. But it just kind of it creates that character in you just to know that you just like can withstand anything, and especially going through that with a bunch of guys that you love and you'll fight for it. It just mends you together and helps you play better.
Yeah, what was the recruiting process like for you? I'm curious, you know, when did you commit, and was Michigan Tech always the place you wanted to be, or were there other schools involved?
Yeah, when I was really little, I always wanted to play for Tech. I mean, all my family's gone here, and
right,
he didn't play hockey here. He just went here for school, and then my three older brothers went here. Obviously, Blake and Logan played here, and one of them just went and graduated as an engineer, But yeah, it's like, it's where I wanted to go always when I was little. I mean, I had a few other schools talk to me and I contemplated it and really thought it through, but I thought that it'd be best to come here and it would help my development and be able to play with my brothers. And it's kind of where I always wanted to go. So that's kind of where I started.
Did you get any peer pressure from the family? Like, hey, you better go to Tech on this one.
No. Maybe they would make jokes, but it was more from outside the family, like cousins and stuff, but no, my family just wanted what's due for best for me, and it ended up being at Tech. So,
yeah, and you know, obviously last year was your freshman year, right? And a lot of that success, especially towards the end of the year, kind of hinged on what you guys were able to do on the blue line, and you know, gain some of that experience with the freshmen and some of the new transfers, right? And you really kind of rounded into form in that last half of the season. You know, just talk about that. You know, coming into your own defensively in college hockey with a lot of guys that were doing the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've said it quite a few times. Is I came in and there's just battles for roles, and I ended up getting put on a pretty big role. They had a lot of trust in me in the start of the year, and it just kind of just took off and ran, and we were able to just continue just to keep fighting from the blue line. We had a great decor, and it ends up working out really, really good in my favor. So.
Did you have a welcome to college hockey moment, one where you're like, oh man, this is a little bit bigger, a little bit faster than it was playing in the USHL?
I actually did. Yeah, my first game against Duluth. I don't remember what shift it was, but yeah, I got a puck dumped to my corner. I'm going back, and I just got absolutely buried. And I was just like, strap. I'm just like, oh, here we go. And the next time I was ready for it, and it didn't really happen much after that. Obviously, it happened every once in a while, but yeah, I was like. Third shift, I just got blown up. It's like, oof. I'm like, welcome to the league.
And it was probably right in that corner with the student section.
Oh,
right,
yeah, they're all hanging on the glass. It's on the big screen, like, hit of the game. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Like, you gotta watch it over and over.
Yeah. Oh man, I've been like 15 times, and I'm just sitting there, just like fixing my chin strap.
Yeah. Like, oh man,
I gotta keep my head up, or else it's gonna be a long season.
Yep. Yep. I mean, you know, as a 6'3" guy too, you're probably not used to that. And when you get to the college level, you're going to run into guys who are a little bigger, guys who are a little faster. And that does happen. I mean, you got your first taste of the NCAA tournament last year. What do you remember from that game and being on the ice with that loaded BC forward group?
Yeah, I mean, they're super, super skilled. I mean, I played against a lot of those kids when they were on the development team, and I've actually played with one of them myself. So I know how much skill they have, and they move the puck quick and they make plays. So you kind of have to really, really be on your game. I mean, I didn't really play much of the third period, but I ended up getting a 2 out of 10 for roughing. So that's kind of tough, but yeah, that happens to the best of us. But I probably would have eased up the temper a little bit so I could have played the rest of the game. But yeah, I mean, I really thought that we played a good game. I mean, up until they started getting power plays and stuff like that, it was kind of tough, but I mean, based on other teams we play, they played fast. I mean, played physical. So one of the best teams we've ever played. I mean, they were a very, very good team. So they went all the way to the championship game. So,
yeah. And kind of to wrap up your freshman year too. I mean, it was, you know, kind of your last chance to play with with your family, right? Your brothers and cousins. Now, did it ever set in or hit you at some point? Like, man, this is pretty cool that I get to do something that not a lot of college hockey players get the chance to do.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like to start off the year when I was there and didn't really know anybody, like I could walk in the ring and be like, oh, what's up, Blake? What's up, Logan? Like my brother's going to Vegas. You know, when are we going home for Christmas break? You know, it's just kind of like that. Or like I'm living with my brother Logan and you're like, oh, like what are we making for dinner? It's kind of like, it's super easy because it's someone that you've been around your whole life with, right? And Jed was actually our neighbor and I'm really close with his younger brother. So it was super, super cool being able to have that family on your team and just like kind of throughout the year, like in hotel rooms or something, you just, oh, you go knock on his door and whatever, hang out and watch me with my brother. It's pretty cool while you're doing that, playing hockey and even win the championship with them as well. It's pretty cool watching them succeed and then being able to succeed with them as well. It's something super special that I'll cherish forever. So.
And now they're gone. You're the big Pietel on campus now.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy. I was actually like, I didn't know what to do because I walked in and I was putting my jersey on for my first game. They took the C off the back of my jersey. And I was like, I haven't seen this in forever. 5 minutes abbreviation before Pietel. I was like, what is going on? And I was just kind of laughing to myself, and I was just like, yeah, it feels crazy. But yeah, I mean, I do miss them, but they're on their own path, doing their own things, and continue to succeed in their hockey career. So I'm happy for them, but. Obviously, it was super, super cool while it lasted.
Yeah.
I want to talk about draft day. I read somewhere that you were on the golf course when you found out that the Pittsburgh Penguins had taken you in the fourth round, which is an interesting one. You know, a lot of times these guys are you always think these guys are glued to the TV. They're glued. You know, they got their family sitting around them and everything. But no fanfare for you. You weren't expecting it in a lot of ways, right? Like that's kind of what I take away. What do you remember about that day?
Yeah, so I remember talking to my advisor, and he was saying like, and he's thinking anywhere from the fourth to the seventh. So I was just trying to get my hopes up. I mean, last thing you want to do is. Or for me anyway, would be sitting around having a bunch of family watching the TV and then not to get picked.
Right.
And they're like, oh, sorry, buddy, have some cake. Like, you know, <I'm good>. So I didn't want to make the day about me. I just kind of wanted to do my own thing. And then going golfing with my brother Grant was pretty cool because I was able to take my mind off staring at the TV or looking at my phone. And, you know, you can't really be looking at your phone and golf at the same time. So I enjoy golfing, and I was able to get out there with my brother and kind of take my mind off it. So it was super cool.
So did you get the call like when you were in the golf cart? Like walk me through when you got the call and what happened to your round after you got the call.
that's a good point.
Yeah, I was actually golfing really good. And then I got a call. I don't know if it was like hole seven. I don't know exactly what hole it was, but I'm actually like this ironic, but I was looking for my ball in the woods. I'm trying to find my ball. And I'm just like I'm all ticked off. I'm like, now I gotta drop. I'm walking back to my cart and see I get a phone call from my advisor. My heart just sinks and I'm just like, no way. Like, because I remember checking. I did check it, and it was like, oh, it's like in the second round, or it was in like the third round or something. My phone was behind. And then he goes, oh, yeah, like you just got drafted fourth round of Pittsburgh. Like, congrats. He's all fired up. I'm just like, what? No way. Cause I didn't talk to Pittsburgh, so I didn't think it was going to be Pittsburgh at all. And then let alone the fourth round, I was like, yeah, it's crazy. And just I was all fired up, and I told my brother, he goes, what? That, yeah, he's all fired up too, and we were having a good time. And, yeah, I didn't do a whole lot more golf, and we kind of had to whack, and then I was getting calls from family and all that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Texts and calls, so my phone was blowing up, and I was just trying to stay calm and challenge a golf round. But, yeah.
Yeah, sorry I missed your congratulatory call. I was 3-putting on 8.
More like 4-putting and putter throwing my golf club in the woods.
You did get a
chance. So, yeah,
Dev Camp.
Yeah, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, then you go off to Dev Camp. Well, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I wasn't fortunate enough to go before, and I ended up going to Pittsburgh's, and it was super cool because I got to go with Logan again. So that was super cool. We flew out there together. We stayed in the hotel, and it was super cool being able to like size yourself up against the other draft picks. And there's so much skill there that it's like, it's crazy. And then being able to like talk to the staff, and it was super cool experience being able to kind of do that all with my brother and being on the same schedule and playing those games and getting all the feedback from the development coaches and stuff. It goes a long way. And it was super, super cool actually. Cause since I wasn't at the draft, I got to get my draft day jersey from Sidney Crosby. So that was pretty cool. I got to meet him.
Oh, wow.
I was fired up.
That's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. I was going to the locker room. We were all waiting outside. I was like one of the last ones to go in there, and I'm sitting there shaking in my boots. I'm like, oh, but I'm meet Crosby. It's like someone that you look up to your whole life. And yeah.
Right.
Unbelievable experience.
I'm curious, even to sort of piggyback off that a little bit, you're a 6'3" defenseman, you're a two-way player. You're coming off a freshman season in which you helped lead the Huskies to the Mason Cup and one of the top freshmen in a lot of categories really, across the conference and across the country. I'm curious to know though, how did you spend the off season and maybe from Dev Camp, like how that sort of translated, and what you wanted to focus on? Is there a specific area or game that you went kind of focused on going into this season?
Yeah, I kind of just, try to look at everything as a whole. I mean, it was nice being able to get feedback from them, like, because we did off-ice testing and on-ice testing, so I was able to get feedback with, like, skating and things I need to work on in the gym. So just trying to be more powerful, just kind of getting stronger, faster, kind of just improving all those things, trying to improve, like, all the edges in skating and just kind of perfecting them to become a player that can play at the next level. And just perfecting all the little details, like stick, just everything, just basically working on everything as a whole and just kind of just mold my game into someone that could play in the NHL. And just kind of just bringing every little aspect up and just trying to maintain the physicalness and just basically just go on from what I have now and just take everything that they have given me and just kind of build on what I have to just become a better player for the future. So
was part of that off-season development, maybe not even off-season development, but just your development is kind of developing into a leader at the college hockey level. Obviously, you had a big senior group last year that's no longer there, and you tabbed as one of the leaders of this team. So talk to me about that process.
Yeah, it feels weird for sure because coming in as a freshman, like you see all these guys are older. They're all telling you what to do and things like that. And I mean, I'm only a second year guy, and I'm still sometimes like a little bit like, like I don't really know. Like, captain. So, but yeah, so like it's a lot of learning for sure. But we have a good group of guys where a lot of them know what's going on, and me and Isaac being sophomores and assistant captains, we had to step in a big role that the senior class left behind. But it feels weird being the ones teaching and having guys and like trying to basically tell them like, oh, like this is how it is here and things like that. Where from last year, we were the ones getting that information in. So it's a pretty quick turnaround. And I think it's a pretty big honor to be able to step in that role and just kind of be one of the leaders of the team and just have these freshmen like look up to you and, like things like that, where you can be able to like show like, oh yeah, this is how you do it, and try to lead by example and things like that. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'd be remiss not to ask about, you guys got one of the best home crowds in the country. And I know that starts with a pretty passionate student section. Can you sort of quantify how much that fan base sort of means to you as a player and somebody who grew up really as a fan in a lot of ways, you know, to kind of be on the ice and be at the center of that has got to be pretty special for you, huh?
Yeah, I still remember my first game. I was skating out for warmups. The first time I ever heard anybody so loud going out for warmups. I was like, and they're all behind you too, so you don't see them walking out.
Right.
They don't feel the far side until like after warmups. You're skating out, also you hear everybody screaming, and you're just like, holy cow. And it's not until you like do the lap around and you're like, you really get to like kind of take it all in, and it's insane. I mean, they travel everywhere. I mean, even to that Bemidji final game, they had a whole section and they were almost just as loud as the other rink. And I mean, I think just having a fan base like that behind you and just supporting you at all times, whether you're winning or losing, I mean, it just goes such a long way. And those freshmen and new guys and transfers are being able to experience that for the first couple times, especially the Northern games when it's, I mean, I had buddies in my class at Snapchat and me at 5:50 in the morning waiting outside in line. I'm just like, holy cow, you know, it's just like, it reminds you like of how dedicated the fan base is. And it gives you a lot of support and it just kind of shows that like no matter what, they got you and you just kind of want to play for them because they're always there no matter what, just cheering for your best, you know?
Yeah. And you mentioned that Mason Cup game in Bemidji and then obviously the tournament game where they traveled well for that one too. Mm-hmm. Did it surprise you at all that, you know, that obviously you knew they were going to travel, but for them to travel in the numbers and the strength that they did, I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, they surprised me every time. I mean, every game it feels like there's more people up in the stands. And yeah, like, I mean, going all the way out to Providence, I was like, holy cow, that's insane that they, I mean, I was so happy that they were able to raise the money that they did and be able to come out and support us. And yeah, like you think it's just going to be like a small group, but then it turns out they got like six buses and they're filling a whole section. Or even at the GLI, like when we're like right after Christmas break, like no classes are going on. Like they're taking their own time out of Christmas break to come watch us. Like that just shows you how dedicated they are that they're able to travel in that many numbers and they just love this hockey team. And we just wanted them to know that like it's just really, really greatly appreciated.
Yeah, we got a few more for you here, Chase. We like to do these what we call one hitters, and they're just kind of quick questions. I mean, you can make them quick, you can elaborate if you want, but we like to just kind of do this to gauge a guy a little bit and see. I just like to hear the answers; they're always so unique. From your experience, first one here we got for you. From your experience, where's the hardest place to play in the CCHA?
Wow, that's a tough one. I haven't played in every building yet, but I think
– I know like half – I think half the league would probably say your home arena, but you can't say that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the easiest place to play. I would say currently maybe Northern because that rivalry night, like it does get you fired up, but it is a tough place to play because when you go in there giving you everything they got, a bigger rink, so defending is harder.
Big sheet.
More time and space. And I heard Ferris is pretty tough to play in. Because they got a smaller rink. I mean, we'll find out this weekend. But, yeah, I would say off the places that I played, I'd probably say Northern with the rivalry and the bigger sheet and things like that. So,
who is the most superstitious guy on the team and what's their weirdest superstition?
Oh, I don't really know many guys' superstitions. I'm trying to think. I know a lot of guys are superstitious, but I don't know. I actually don't even know. I mean, it might be me taking a freezing cold shower before every game.
What? Yeah. Before the game, right?
Before warm-ups, I'm always in the shower taking a freezing cold shower. So I mean,
what? Maybe, a personal,
maybe it's me.
Well, personal smelling salt.
Yeah, I do. I hit those smelling salts pretty hard.
I've never heard before the game.
That's crazy. That's
crazy. Yeah, that is a new one.
Yeah, I turn it on just barely so it's coming out and it's as cold as it gets and yeah, it fires me up. So,
oh my God.
It's usually the goalies, right? Like it's usually the goalies that have the weird superstitions.
Yeah.
I mean, from my experience, that's kind of what I've gauged.
Yeah, I mean, they're always doing the exact same thing. I mean, knowing Blake, I mean, he did every day like the exact same thing. I'm just like, how do you not get bored? Like, something else. Like I don't know. but yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Or I'm gonna
bring who is
to golf? Who bring it back?
Yeah.
To golf real quick. Who is the best golfer on the team, and who's the biggest sandbagger on the team?
I would probably say Alex Nordstrom's probably the best golfer on the team. I mean, he's from up here. He's golf ported so many times. I mean, he knows the back of his hand, so we got to give it to him. The biggest sandbagger. I would say Rylan Brown. Yeah, I mean, he thinks he's unreal, but he is terrible. I do got to give props to Worksy, though. He's got a Happy Gilmore putter, and it is absolutely hilarious.
Oh, my God.
he holds it like a hockey stick, and he just drains putts, and I love it.
That's awesome. Beautiful. I think it's awesome. Look, we don't have this around here. Jared, did you know, I know Ferris, I think, is the same way, but Michigan Tech has its own golf course. I learned this when I was on the Chase and McNaughton pod. I think that's the coolest thing. Like, if I had that in college, I'd be a way better golfer. But yeah. I think it's just so cool. I mean, I guess it's during the warmer months, it's a really nice thing to have, though. It has to be.
Yeah, it's nice to get away from school and just kind of just get outside and hang out with teammates. And it's mostly for weekends because we got a lot of practice and stuff, so we don't really have much time. But mainly when we're up here for the summer is most times guys will use it, and then like those first few months when it's warm, we go out a lot on the weekends, and it's just kind of a cool way to bond as a team, and as well just kind of like put everything aside and just have a good time. I mean, that's what college is about. So
absolutely.
So growing up, I'm curious to know, were there any players that you were like, they were like your favorites? I mean, guys that you really looked up to, maybe tried to model your game after a little bit, like who were some of those guys at a young age that you really, really liked, or maybe even today's game that you really, really like to watch?
Yeah. I mean, I've always grown up a Red Wings fan, so I always liked to watch like Nick Lindstrom, and I mean, he's an unbelievable player. So being able to watch him growing up, it was super, super cool. And then in today's game, I know most people probably hate me for saying it, but I like watching Jacob Trouba. I mean, he's just a menace. I mean, I know he throws the elbows and everybody's like, oh, like he's so cheap. Like, yeah, I sometimes they're a little bit like, ooh, like maybe don't do that. But I mean, he's unbelievable leader, and he just plays the game in a physical way. And he's not about points, and he knows it. And he just kind of knows his role, and he's able to lead a team like the Rangers. And I look up to him just in that aspect. And I know I'll probably get a lot of crap for it because everybody hates him, but I mean, somebody's got to be hated, right? I mean,
well, I think at this point it's worth letting the audience know that Chase Pietola led all freshmen in the country in penalty minutes last season. I will say you have a bit more offensive upside than Jacob Trouba, though. I gotta give you that. But you play with an edge, and we like that. And I know your fan base likes it. I mean, it's a thing that you need to have to be a really, really, you know, good two-way defenseman, right? Like, it's just playing with an edge. That's all it is.
Come playoff hockey, like it's turns into hard-nosed hockey, and you need guys that are willing to like make hits. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you to win games, you need guys that aren't going to be offensive all the time. And we got a bunch of guys that are willing to get gritty and play the hard side of hockey and not be always so skilled. And it's just, that's what wins you games, especially in playoffs when you're not scoring many goals. And I know it's overlooked, and everybody likes these skilled, like talented first round guys. I mean, I do too, because they're absolutely nasty. You do need guys that are willing to shut them down and things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, it goes a long way.
I think back to AAA all the way up to Michigan Tech, every team you played on, every player you played with, who's the best player that you've ever played on the ice with?
Oh my gosh. I mean, from AAA, I played with so many players that are unreal. I mean, I played with Gauthier, I played with Nazar. Yeah, I'd probably have to say Frank Nazar. I mean, he's really, really skilled. I mean, he tore it up at Michigan. I mean,
yes. Yeah.
In the NHL right now, I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, Cutter's pretty unreal as well. I mean, he tore up BC. I mean, was very close to winning a Hobey Baker. So, I mean, I would say one of those two probably.
Now, who's the best Pietola you've ever played with?
I mean, you can't do that. I played with two of them that are my brothers.
Okay, yeah, you could be the only answer. It'd have to be.
I don't want my mom to watch this and kill me.
You know, last thing I'm gonna ask, you know, you've got the mustache, you're rocking it now. Jared's rocking the mustache. It seems like that's in. You know, the pressure's on me really right now. Yeah. When did the mustache start? And was it like a thing? You know, to start the season, you're trying something new or what?
No, this is actually a really funny story. So I or maybe I just think it's funny. But
no,
but actually, I never knew I could grow a mustache or a goatee or anything until the playoffs of the Clark Cup, because I was just like, I'd always shave it, like it would be patchy, it's coming in, like I never get anything on the sides. So like, oh, I can only grow stash or goatee, that's it. And I was shaving it all, just like, oh, it looks terrible. And then playoffs comes around, I was like, you know what, I'll grow it out. And all of a sudden, I, like 3 weeks later, it's just this massive goatee, and I'm just like, this is sick, like I'm gonna keep growing this out. Ever since that, it's just like, that's just what I've been known for, just having this nasty mustache that's just like all over the place. My mom's always telling me to trim it down, like, what are you doing? Like, I just make a joke out of it. I mean, I was Mario for Halloween, so I shaved the chin. It's currently growing.
Looks great, man.
It just kind of became part of me. I mean, I look like a 3-year-old if I shave it all off, so I just kind of make me look a little older and keep the stash.
Jared's rocking it. You're rocking it. Both you guys look great in it. Philip Forsberg's got a mustache going right now. I'm a Preds fan.
Yeah.
Looks great. You know, like, it works. It works for hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
We just got to put in the notes of the show, like, hey, Miss Pietta, turn it off after the last 2 months.
Yeah, muted at 32 minutes or whatever it's at.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's all we got for you, Chase. Thank you so much for coming on. This is a blast. You know, obviously you guys are off to a great start this year. So keep it going. It's fun to watch you play, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I had a blast.
All right. Once again, thank you to Chase Pietta for joining the show. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer, at Jared Rubato BP. You can check out our work at thebemidjipioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com. Thanks.